So, Gvuach, everybody. I thank you all for joining me tonight to have a wonderful, hopeful evening learning Torah. We're learning at Li'ilui Nishmas, my Holy Father, Mr. Joseph Glatt, Olav HaShalom, Yosef Nissan ben Yecheskel. His 14th Yard site is coming up on Yud Nissan. We're doing it a little bit earlier this year because the Shabbos Argol Drasha from Rabbi Yaxer Rotschlita will be next Matzei Shabbos, which is when I would have normally done it. So I thought, continuing the COVID updates that we have, so I always said that I would much rather prefer people listen to a shiur instead of having a COVID update. So I won't mention anything about COVID other than what may come up from the Haggadah. And I thank you all for giving cover to my father and learning Li'ilui Nishmas, my father, and Mitzvah Hashem saying over some of these beautiful things at the Seder. Again, one of the highlights of my childhood, and I don't say this loosely, I looked forward so much to the Seder every year with my parents, my brother and my sister, and we had sometimes guests. There was an almana, used to come a distant relative of us that used to come to our house, and we had some other people sometimes. And I remember the Seder being such a very special night, and that's exactly what the Seder is supposed to be. Even 60 years later, a person remembers the Sederim that they had at their father and mother's house. And my father and mother always made the Seder very special for me, and Mitzvah Hashem, I hope that the Vertlach that we say over will make the Seder very, very special for you and your family as well. I thank you all for listening, and Mitzvah Hashem, I hope you enjoy the shir. We will finish in Mitzvah Hashem no later than 9:30, so those that have other plans for the evening, they can, Mitzvah Hashem, know that we'll stay to the schedule. So, I said over Vart today, that's the only thing that I'm going to repeat. I said over Vart from Parshas HaChodesh, which was today. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. We said Parshas HaChodesh today. And in the Parsha, it tells us that Im Yim'at Habayis Miseh, if there aren't enough people to go and eat the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to leave any of the Korban Pesach over. If you do, you have to go and burn it. But ideally, there shouldn't be any of the Korban Pesach left over. So it says, if there aren't enough people to eat it, so get together with someone else. And I pointed out that last year, Nebuch, at this time, everybody was alone. I had a Seder with just Margie and me last year. It was beautiful, but at the same time, very sad that we weren't with our children, with our family, with our guests. And I would mention that we always used to have Tamara Klein, Aleha Shalom, with us at our Seder. And she just was Nifteris, and we will miss having her at our Seder this year. And the sadness, if you wish, of not having your family. So that's something that, Be'ezus Hashem, this year, with optimism and with excitement, we can go back and enjoy. Baruch Hashem, many of the people that were at the highest risk have hopefully been vaccinated. The grandparents, the great-grandparents have hopefully been vaccinated at this point in time. And therefore, Be'ezus Hashem, they should be able to go to a Seder, even with children or grandchildren that aren't vaccinated. And that's what it tells us, that a person should go, Michsas Nefashos, register onto your Korban Pesach with other people. You have to register. So prepare and plan, Be'ezus Hashem, that this year we go back to normal to a certain extent. Maybe not exactly the way we always used to have Pesach in the past, especially people that went away and stayed by multiple people, went to a hotel with multiple large groups of people. We're not there yet. But to be able to, Baruch Hashem, have a Seder with family at least, or some close friends, and have a Seder, especially if people are vaccinated all together, that is both a beautiful idea, it's halachically suggested, and it allows us to transmit our Mesorah to our children, grandchildren. Be'ezus Hashem, people who have great-grandchildren, they can transmit the Mesorah. That's what the Seder is all about. And that's what I remember so fondly from my parents' Seder in our house. And I'm sure everybody remembers the last Vart that I said last year. We've been doing this Kanai Nahara for many, many years since my father's yard site. This is the 14th yard site, so we began from year one, having this shir. So the last vart that I said last year was on Kulonu Chachamim, Kulonu Nevonim, Kulonu Yodim Es HaTorah. So we said that you have to say it over. There's people that say, I know the Seder already. Yeah, you're going to have the four sons, and then we're going to have Isha Amda, and we'll talk some psukim, we'll rush through it and get to the meal. So that's the wrong attitude. The attitude should be, this is the most exciting part. The Haggadah is the most exciting part. The meal is, of course, important. It's one of the things that we do at the Seder, Shulchan Aruch. We're supposed to have a meal. But the meal is not the essence. And in fact, we'll see later on, the Rasha, one of the reasons it's called the Rasha, is he keeps on saying, hey, get to the meal already. So that's an incorrect attitude. We'll talk about the rush a little bit later tonight. I'm going to do a little bit different than in the past. In the past, I used to go and focus really on just maybe one or two paragraphs and really dissect them in detail. Tonight, I'm going to start, since we're going from the beginning, we left off last year at Avadim Hayinu, which is really the start of the answers to the Manish Tana. Those that are doing the Daf Yomi now in Arbei Pesachim, this is the most beautiful time to do the Daf Yomi. And we're learning all about the Seder. So the Seder starts with Avadim Hayinu. Those are the response, the answer to the Fear Kashas. So I'm going to try to go through a couple of different paragraphs. We'll not rush through it, but we'll go hopefully more than just one paragraph. We'll hopefully be able to have a lot of different things for people to say at the Seder. I always stress, you don't have to say your Averik Lach, your nice Divrei Torah on that particular paragraph. You can go on any paragraph and say whatever you want. It's an opportunity to discuss Torah. It's an opportunity to hear from the people that are still living from the Shoah. Unfortunately, every year there's less and less. Listen to the people who are in the Shoah. If they're at your Seder, you have such a zuchus, and let them tell their personal Avdus L'Cheirus story. And that should be an essential part of our transmission of our Masorah as well. So we'll begin, for those that follow along in Haggadah, but you don't have to, we'll begin with the paragraph of Avadim Hayinu. And I just want to talk about a little bit from each paragraph. We won't spend a lot of time on each paragraph. So the first paragraph that we'll talk about is, it says, Avadim Hayinu leParo b'Mitzrayim. What's the point of telling us Paro b'Mitzrayim? It seems to be redundant, right? Some of these things we say so many years, we don't even think about the question anymore. Why do we need this double idea that we're saying we were servants to Paro b'Mitzrayim? Say we were servants to Paro, or say we were servants to Mitzrayim. Why this double lashon? So a number of terutzim are given. The Abarbanel gives a beautiful terutz. He says there's two aspects of this shibud legula, going from servitude to being free people. He says there's two things over here that stopped us from going out. There was Paro and there was Mitzriim. They each had their own agendas. They each had their own reasons. Paro didn't want to let us go out. He was Paro. He was a horrible person. The name Paro is either Pe-Ra, that's one explanation why he's called Paro, or Paalra. He did horrible things. He was a wicked tyrant. He hated the Jewish people. And he, even though he was getting petch, even though he was getting punished, maka after maka after maka, so he said, I'm not letting the Jews go. Period. So we were avodim to Paro Mitzrayim. But even the Mitzrayim, why are they called Mitzrayim? Technically, they should have been called Mitzrimim, or something like that. Why are they called Mitzrayim? So the Mefarshim, the Abarbanel, and others explain, because they were giving us a lot of tsaros. It comes from the Lashon, Mitzrayim. They persecuted us. It's Lahavdil, or not Lahavdil. It's like in Nazi Germany. Everybody says, well, you know, we're just following orders. No, they hated the Jews. There were many people. I remember my mother, Aleha Shalom, when the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, came to a city and took them all to Auschwitz. So the Goyim that they thought were their good neighbors said, yeah, that's where the Jews live. That's where the Jews live. So all of the people in Mitzrayim, it wasn't just Paro. Oh, there was one terrible tyrant and everybody was subjugated by this tyrant and they were felt so bad. They didn't want to hurt the Jewish people. What choice did they have? They were going to be killed if they didn't follow along. No, the Mitzrayim were Mitzrayim themselves. We see this throughout our history. We find many times that it wasn't just the leader that was terrible. It wasn't just the Khmelnytskys of the world that were terrible. The Kazakhs were terrible. They hated the Jewish people. And that's what he's telling us, the Abarbanel, this double lashon, Paro b'Mitzrayim. It was Paro and the Mitzrayim that treated us with hatred. It was a Medina shel Mitzrayim. It wasn't just the leader. It was everybody there that hated us. Brings down from the Sefer, Chukas Pesach, a sefer from the Rashab, and he says, this is the answer. He says, Shavo Lomar Godol Hanes, the greatness of the miracle is that in Mitzrayim, nobody got out. The king made terrible, terrible decrees on the Jewish people, and they couldn't leave it if they wanted to. And even if we could have somehow bribed Paro or convinced Paro to let us out, the Mitzrayim wouldn't have let us out. Even if we somehow had bribed Paro, the rest of the country, they wouldn't have let us out. Bnei Yisrael hayu avodim lo rak leParo, the Rashab says, one of the earlier Bavitcher Rebbe's, el l'chol Mitzrayim. We were in servitude to everybody in Mitzrayim. It wasn't just to the king. The people, similar to what the Abarbanel said, the people hated us as well. Brings out another idea as well. He says, Shigalusenu tia be'eretz Mitzrayim laharos kocho V'yicholto ba'olam. It's to show the greatness of Hashem. Even though Paro and all the people, they were unified in keeping us there, but in a split second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. B'chatzos halayla. In that 1 second, He had the power to take us out. And that's one of the reasons that we bedavka took the Korban Pesach during the mazel. This month of Nisan is the mazel of the Tleh. That's the mazel the Mitzrayim was counting on to protect them, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us right out. There obviously was no force that could stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, the last idea for this answer is from the Ri Gitalia. And he says as follows. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his bedavka in Paro, in his country, the Mitzrayim. In a country that we had given so much food to Mitzrayim. And this was a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. We sometimes don't even appreciate the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. He could have put us in a land where they had no food. So in a land where they have no food, even the prisoners who might sometimes get a little morsel of food, so they won't get any food if there's no food around. So this was a tremendous chesed. He put us in the breadbasket of the Middle East. He put us in the land of Mitzrayim, which had plenty of food. So even though they may have persecuted us, they may have starved us, at least we were in a country where the servitude would be a little bit less difficult because there was a plentitude of food there. It's a very nice idea. Chazdei Hashem, he says, lo rak hashibud vakoshi. We have to recognize that, yes, it was pretty terrible in Mitzrayim, but even there, the Yad Hashem, Hashem was with us. Imo Anochi Bitzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always goes into Golus with us. So these are some of the ideas why it says Paro Bimitzray. We'll continue in the next idea, which is Madua Tzorech L'Chadesh Shekol Elu Chayavim B'Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why does it have to tell us Chachomim, Nevonim, some of the gears is Zekenim, Misha Yodim is a Torah? Why? Why does everybody have to go and talk about the Seder? I could understand you having an introductory class, a 101 class. So you need to tell people the basic story. But why does Rav Moshe Feinstein have to sit at the Haggadah and hear that, we were in Mitzrayim, Avadim Ayinu B'Mitzrayim? He could spend the night learning on a very, very, very deep level. Why is he learning these basic ideas? So it's very important for us to understand that even the greatest people have to. And as a corollary to this question is, what's the hava amina to think that a chacham should be parted from a mitzvah? Where else do we find that a chacham, somebody who's a chacham, that he's parted from a mitzvah, that you have to tell us, afilu chachamim, that you're not parted from the mitzvah? Why would we have had a hava amina to say that a person who is a chacham should be parted from the mitzvah? So, the Rashab, he gives us another teretz, again, one of the earlier Lubavitcher Rebbe's. So he says, Shevet Levi didn't have to go into the Sheba Mitzrayim. Right from the very start, Shevet Levi never went and made the bricks for Paro. So they were the priestly class, and they were exempt. So I might have thought that people that weren't necessarily involved in the Shibud, maybe they don't have to go and talk about the Shibud, just like Shevet Levi didn't have to. And what made Shevet Levi special? They were Chachomim. They saw the future. Ezu Chachom, Haroas HaNolad. A smart person sees the future. Shevet Levi said, hey, Paro is trying to get us to go over here and do work for him. Why is he being so nice to us? Oh, I'll have you all come and do work for me and I'll pay you and I'll give all you the straw and everything. No, they saw that this was a plea, or a plot rather, that they would go and say, well, this is how many bricks you could make. I expect that every day. So they were smart, they were chachamim, and that's why they weren't involved in the Sheba Mitzrayim. So you might have had a havamina, the Rashab says, that if you're very smart, they don't have to say the Haggadah. So therefore he says, no, even kulanu chachamim, you have to go and say the Haggadah. Another teretz that he gives is, they were also afhenu yu ba'osu anes, even though one could say, hey, maybe taka, the levim, the chachamim, they taka should be exempt. So he says, no, we have this famous rule, af hein hayu b'osu anes. We find that's why women are obligated in the Dalet Kosos. One could make the argument, it's a time-dependent mitzvah. Women shouldn't be obligated. And we find by many other mitzvahs, we say, af hein hayu b'osu anes, that people who are in the miracle, they have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we'll have this in the Daf Yomi. It says even blind people who might have thought that should be exempt from saying the Haggadah, so they also have to participate in the Haggadah. So therefore, the reason is, Tosfos brings down, af hein hayu b'osu anes. All these people were in the Nes, so even the Chachamim, you might have had a Havamina to say that they don't have to go and participate in the Haggadah. No, they have to go and say the Haggadah as well. Tanari Tab gives a different teretz. And he says as follows. He says, what is the Milo of Yetzias Mitzrayim? He says, hello, achar makas b'choros, shekvar lohu mishubadim yoser. After makas b'choros, we weren't subservient anymore. Why do we have to go and talk about that Gada? In terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we should just say, well, we'll talk about the makos, that freed us up from Mitzrayim, and guess what? We could have technically gotten the Torah and stayed in Mitzrayim. It was pretty comfortable there without the Mitzrayim bothering us. So he says, very important idea. He says, even though the Chachamim and the Gedolim could have managed and stayed in Mitzrayim once the servitude was gone, but that's not the place to raise your children. And if your children are not going to be in the right environment, so then even though you are saved, but your children won't be saved. What a beautiful message for Pesach. We have to understand that everything is making sure that the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, Kenayna Hara, that they're going to transmit the Mesorah to their children, great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And the only way to do that is in a proper environment. And while the Chachamim in Mitzrayim might have been okay, but their descendants wouldn't have been okay. And therefore, that's the reason why we have to get out of Mitzrayim. And that's the reason why, even if you're a Chacham, and you would have been okay in Mitzrayim once the servitude was stopped, but your children wouldn't have been. And that's what we have to remember. And that's why even the Chachamim have to say about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now we'll go to the next paragraph. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Elazar. Now, this, according to many, is a proof to the previous paragraph that you just said, Afilu Chachamim, Nevonim, Yodim, it's called a Torah, so they have to go and say that Gada. And prove, Ma'aseh Shaya, these five great Tanoim have to go and say the Haggadah. So, everybody knows this paragraph, a lot of story about this paragraph. I'm going to tell you something that I was amazed to read about myself, and hopefully you'll be amazed as well. So, it says that they were sitting in Bnei Brak, and I'm sure everybody has said over the story that Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe in Bnei Brak. That's why he was allowed to go and lean with his Rabbeim, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer over there, with the Nasi. Okay. What if I told you there's another pshat to Bnei Brak, and that it's based upon the following question. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, and he was a very wealthy man. One of the reasons he became the Nasi was it says that he was fantastically wealthy. So what's the pshat that he would be eating by Bnei Brak, the children who lived in Brak? Bnei Brak is really the Talmidim who were in Brak. Bnei Brak, they were sitting in Bnei Brak. That's the simple translation. So what's the Hava Amina? What are you thinking to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who's the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, is going to be eating by Talmidim in Bnei Brak when he's unbelievably wealthy? Imagine Bill Gates going in and going to one of his workers' house to have a very, very, very big meal. Okay, it's a nice worker, but he has his own huge mansion. Why would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah be eating by one of the Talmidim in Bnei Brak? Furthermore, they asked the question. It says that Rabbi Eliezer also was there, Rabbi Eliezer Yeshua. So Rabbi Eliezer was also there along with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, Rabbi Eliezer was famous elsewhere for saying that a person should absolutely not go and eat by somebody else on the Shlosh Regalim. He's famous for saying, this is a good time that a person should go and eat with his own house. He was praising those people that are, quote, lazy and don't go out because you could have more simcha in your own house. So how could Rabbi Eliezer be going to these Talmidim's houses in Bnei Brak? So they give a couple of terutzim. So one is that they just got off a boat. They were fundraising for the yeshivas. So they had gotten off on a boat together, and that's why they ended up, they couldn't get back to their houses in time for Shabbos. So the Be'er Miriam says, therefore, they had no choice. It was Erev Pesach, and therefore, they all had to go to the Talmidim's houses in Bnei Brak. But listen to this pshat. It says, Kol Hamarbe Harezeh Meshubach. So we always translate that as saying that it's great to say over lots of stories at the Seder. So he points out, he says, no, kol hamarbe, the more people you have at your Seder, again, contrast last year's Seder with this year's Seder, Mirtz Hashem, there'll be a little bit more back to normal. He says, kol hamarbe, the bigger your Seder is, the better. And he said, for whatever the reason, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they couldn't have a big Seder in their own house. And therefore, they said, "Kol hamar b'hareze mishubach." It's better to go to a big seder. Would be tremendous kavod haTorah and tremendous divrei Torah. So they felt it was better to go to this bigger seder. Kol hamar b'hareze mishubach. And finally, listen to this pshat from the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says you're mistranslating the words b'nei brak. He says b'nei brak. B'nei is coming from the lashon of binyan, which is utensils, and brak means shiny, very fancy utensils. So it says hayu mesubim b'bnei brak, and this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to take out your finery. You're supposed to take out all the best stuff, the one day of the year that you don't have to leave some of the good stuff behind. Normally, we always make a zeker l'churban. Say having a fancy dinner at your house, making a sheva brachos, so you put out all the fancy stuff, you're supposed to leave something off the table. So you have all these fancy dishes, you leave one dish off the table. You don't ever put out all of your stuff. Always have a zeichel l'churban. We have to remember, in the midst of our great simcha, at a wedding, we break the glass. Remind us, we should never forget Yerushalayim's destruction. We should never forget the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Even at the height of our simcha, we break the glass. So too, there's a halacha that you're not supposed to ever put out all your finery. You always leave something behind. One exception to that rule is on Pesach night. So on Pesach night, they took out B'nai Brak. They took out all of the beautiful silver and kalim that they had, and they put them on the table. And they were eating at Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's house. He was the Nasi. And they all went to his house. That was the biggest house. That was the house with the most finery. And that's what it means. Hayu Mesubim B'nai Brak. They were sitting there amongst all the great silverware and the finery to be mahadir, and this is halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You're even supposed to borrow kalim. If a person doesn't have fancy utensils, you should even go ask your next door neighbor, who, even if they're not Jewish, can I please go and borrow some fancy plates and silverware and serving dishes to put them on your table, so it should be in great b'nei brak. It should be in great finery. Again, a beautiful shot. Okay, we'll go a little bit further. Go on to the next paragraph that we'll talk about, where it says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "Lo zochisi, I wasn't zocha." Shetiyomer yitzias mitzrayim balelos achadorsha ben zoma. So I never was zocha to have everybody listen to me until along came ben zoma, and he proved my point. He agreed with me that you have to do this yitzias mitzrayim balelos. So they asked a question, which again, if you never thought about this question beforehand. We all know the famous story that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, "Hari ani kiben shivim shana," I'm like 70 years old. And we all know the famous story. He was like an 18-year-old boy, and he was made to be the Nasi, so Hashem made him get these white beard, and he looked like an older man. That's the way the Bavli understands it. But according to that understanding, so then what does he mean? "Hari ani kiben shivim shana v'lo zochisi." You're 18 years old, and you're upset that you weren't zocha to have the din set over in your name the way you sang it? You're a pisher. You're 18 years old. Why do you think that all of Klal Yisrael should be subservient to your opinion, even though you're a great Talmid Chacham? But you're 18 years old. If this is the true pshat, so then why is he saying Shelo Zochisi? It's terrible that I wasn't Zochet to say over the Emes Dikah pshat until fortunately Ben Zoma said like me, Achadorsha Ben Zoma, and now the right pshat is being said. It's a Pella. He's 18 years old. What he's saying, Shelo Zochisi, Shelo Zochisi. Lo yazok in klal. He wasn't an older person. So Rabbi Elazar Fulda brings down the Yerushalmi, and he says, "Shoya Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chochum godol v'royil inusius mitzad chochmosom." The Gemara says that they picked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because he was the 10th generation descended from Ezra, and he was very rich, so he had zchus of his parents from Ezra, Hasofer, and he had money, so if there was troubles, he could help Klal Yisrael out. And he was, of course, a Talmud Chacham. But it's saying that he was a great Talmud Chacham. That the reason why this nes happened to him was because he was really a great, unbelievably great individual. And therefore, it was appropriate for him to say, Lo Zochisi, even though he was only 18, he wasn't a pisher. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. And therefore, he was chosen to be the Nasi based upon his merit, and not just the fact that he had a good lineage and that he was a rich person. Sometimes positions are given over by nepotism, or positions are given over because a person's wealthy and buys a position. So one might have thought that that was what happened with Elazar ben Azariah. So he said, no, he was Zolche, and that's why he said Lo Zochisi in this situation. The Charedim on the Yerushalmi brings down That's why the Yerushalmi says he wasn't 18 years old. I mentioned this in previous years. The Yerushalmi says he was 68 or 69. And that's why the Yerushalmi says, Hari ani kiben shivim. He rounded it off. A person's 68, he says, I'm like 70. So that's why the Yerushalmi makes very good sense. Lo zochisi. I'm 70 years old and I wasn't zochah that this halakha should be said over in my name. Now it's appropriate that he says, shelo zochisi. And the Abarbanel says something similar. The Abarbanel says, sha'afel pi sha'oslo HaKadosh Baruch Hu nes godol. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this phenomenal nes, that he looked like an older person. He said, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this tremendous nes for him, but still HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him be zolcha to have this vort said over in his name. He made other nesim for him, but he didn't give him the zechus that he should have this member said over in his name. The Maral, we have one more teretz. He says, Haya nire zokain, and haya royim nasvar lishmolo. Since he was the Nasi, and he looked like he was an older person, so one might have thought that, yeah, taka, he would be zolcha to have everybody listen to everything that he said. And nevertheless, they didn't listen to him. Shalav dafka, over here, because you're the God of Lador, everybody didn't listen to you. Sometimes, there's certain things that just don't happen that way. We had many times this year, the Gedolei Hador said certain things, and nepach, they weren't listened to. So this is an age-old problem, that even the Gedolei Hador from the Tanoim, they weren't always listened to by people. It's not just our generation, where people dismissed what the Gedolei Hador have to say. A sad commentary, but we see that that even was the case with the Velozim and Azariah. Fine. So let's go weiter now on to the next paragraph. So the next thing we'll discuss is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. So this is really the bracha on the Haggadah. We said this in the past, that you really need to ask, one of the questions that's asked is, where is there a bracha on the Haggadah? It's a mitzvah Aseh D'Oraisa. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is one of the two mitzvahs D'Oraisa that we do on the Seder night, the other being the eating of the matzah. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there were other mitzvahs D'Oraisa, such as the eating of the Korban Pesach, and when you have the Pesach and Matzah, so then the Morah is also Doraisa. But nowadays, it's only Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Matzah that are Doraisa. So, since Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Mitzah Doraisa, where's the Bracha on it? So, many suggest that when we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, that's essentially a Bracha. And it concludes with the Bracha, Go'al Yisrael at the end, Asher Go'alanu. So, that is the conclusion. That's the Chasima, that's the bracha at the beginning. It's like Baruch Shomer at the beginning and Yishtabach at the end. It's one bracha up front, one bracha at the end, and then inside you have all the Haggadah. So some suggest that's what Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is saying. And in fact, some suggest that it was said over, Baruch HaMakom was said by the one who's leading the Seder, and the Tzibur, the people around him, say Baruch Hu. And then Baruch Shonas Torah Yisrael, Baruch Hu. So that's, according to some, it's like saying Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo is part of the bracha. Okay. The Shibali Alek, it says, this pshat was said over by the Shibali Alek. Okay. Now, the Chukas HaPesach, again, the Rashab, says that the Magid over here, of the Haggadah, the person who's saying the Haggadah, he says, Kavanas Mesader Haggadah, Lahagid Godo Malas HaTorah. We want to say over here how great it is to learn Torah. The Seder is not a tefillah. I always tell people, if you don't understand the Seder, if you don't understand what you're saying, say it in English. There are Baruch Hashem wonderful English translations that don't just give you the translations of the words, but they give you deeper meaning. And it's much more important to say the words in English if you don't understand the Hebrew. Again, if you understand the Hebrew, read the Hebrew, and then say your vertlach, say over the things about the Seder. But if you don't understand it, so then read it in English. I know many times we've read parts of it in English because some of the words are not clear, or some of the people at the table may not know all the words. So he says it's very important that people, Yoser Tov Hoyel Yisrael, Nesina Satora Migulas Mitzrayim. He wants us to tell us here how important the Torah learning is at Haggadah, and that, amazingly so, that the learning of the Torah at Haggadah is even more important than Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the message over here from Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Nosan Torah le'amo Yisrael, that he gave us the Torah. That's the real victory, if you wish, of Shibud Mitzrayim. He also points out, it says arba pamim, it says four times baruch over here. Baruch hamakom baruch hu, baruch shenatzar yisrael baruch hu. So the four times is keneged the arba bonim. As it says in the next paragraph, keneged arba bonim, divrei Torah, says that baruch is teaching us another important idea. And maybe in the year of COVID, we see this more than in any other year. In the year of COVID, people have had a hard time. We have to take a step back and acknowledge that. Sometimes we don't realize how difficult a year this has been. Many people do, unfortunately. People who lost Nebuch, people who lost their parnasa, people that emotional and well-being has been impacted tremendously. And we have to understand the famous Gemara in Brachos, that just like we make a bracha on the good things, you win a lottery, it's easy to make a bracha. But we make a bracha on the bad things. Kishem shemavarchem ala tov, kach mavarchem ala ra. That just like we make a bracha on things that are very, very easy to make a bracha on, right? The person has a child that he makes a shechianu or a tova native. A person gets a raise at work and it's easy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elvi said, Mono Rabbein once taught me, that he says, to praise God in the winning team's locker room is easy, but go to the losing team's locker room and see what they're saying about God over there, right? In the winning team locker room, everybody's, oh, God is great, God is great. So the greatness of Tehillim, the greatness of David HaMelech, was he was able to say God is great even when it's very difficult. David HaMelech, when he said many of his Tehillim, he was on the run. His sons attacked him. Avshalom rebelled against him. His other sons rebelled against him. He had a very difficult life. They called him a mamzer. They called him an adulterer. They accused him of everything under the sun. David HaMelech. And yet he wrote Tehillim. That's the greatness. And that's what they're telling us over here, that you have to make a bracha. Keneged arba banim. They're good banim and they're bad banim. They're going to be good times and they're going to be bad times. Just like you have an obligation to make a bracha ala tov, so too you have to make a bracha ala ra. And here, keneged arba banim, we lump the chacham and the tam together. And we lump the rosha and the eshenu yadei lishol together as well. And therefore, we make a bracha on all of them. Each of them has their good and bad, so to say, that come along with them, and you make a bracha on the good and on the bad. So very interesting. He brings down from the Vilna Gaon, Ha'olam hischade shtei pomim. There are two things in Briyas Olam. There's the Rishona b'klolos Briyas Olam, or b'shenis b'protos liyisrael b'matan Torah. So there's two things. There's the spiritual and the gashmiest things. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of them. We have to always thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he's done for us on a gashmias basis, on all the good things that we need to live, the house Baruch Hashem a person has, the clothing, the parnasa, the children, all the gashmias things. And we also have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to do spiritual things. This has been a very difficult year, but v'ezus Hashem, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the vaccine. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that maybe we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Again, we see real practical changes with the way that we're celebrating this Pesach versus last Pesach. I mentioned today also, last year, Parshas HaChodesh, everybody said it in their own house. They weren't even mechuyev to say it. It's something on the Tzibur. The Tzibur is obligated. So if people read it last year, very nice, beautiful idea, but you weren't Yotzi anything. But this year we were able to be Yotzi again. So we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity, not only that the Gashmi should get better, but that our religious observance should get better as well. Now let's talk a little bit about one aspect about each of the sons. So we start off with the Chacham. So the Sefer Simcha Sarego writes, the Chacham asks over here, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was appropriate, min haroi laharos simon echeris. You should show all the signs of us coming out of Mitzrayim. So he says, in Golus Hamar, what's the purpose in showing us this? I can understand if you're living a free life to talk about all the symbols of freedom, great, but we're living here in Nebuchadnezzar. That's the question that the Chacham asks, which many of us ask. Why are we so thankful? Imagine the people in Auschwitz, when they were in Nebuch having a Seder, whatever they could possibly muster together to have a Seder. How are they supposed to say, we thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for going from Avdus L'Cheirus? They were in, arguably, a worse Avdus than they were in Mitzrayim. People that are Nebuch suffering. So how are they supposed to say at this Seder? People that lost loved ones, people that are going to be at a Seder that's still going to be a difficult Seder for them. So how are they supposed to say? That's the Chacham's question. How do you make a Seder in Golus? How do you make a Seder when it's a difficult time for a person? That's what the Chacham is asking us. And we answer to the Chacham, no, there will be a future for Klal Yisrael. That there will be eventually an Afikomen. There will be a redemption. Every tzara that we're in will have a redemption. And that's the answer to the Chacham. The Chacham asks a very good question. He says, we're never suffering. So how do you tell people that are suffering that they should be thrilled? And the answer to that is that you will eventually be thrilled, even if you're not thrilled right now. Even if you're going through a painful period right now, the light at the end of the tunnel, everybody has to realize that. And that's the message that the Chacham is asking and is being answered with. The Chacham is there to remind us that we all will eventually, b'mehera b'yameinu, have real simcha. It should come very fast. And that's the opposite for the Rasha. By the Rasha says, what's going on over here? So I want to read you what some of the Mefarshim say about the Rasha. What was so bad? This is from the Ritva. And you have to hear the words. So I apologize. I read them from you inside. He says, HaRasha, what's the Rasha's essence? He says, Lechol velishtos ulhasbia bitno. All the Rasha wants to do is eat, drink, and fill his stomach. That's a person who's not a spiritual person. That's a person who doesn't believe that there's schar va'onish, that there's reward and punishment for this world. That's a hedonistic person that says, whatever time I'm on this world, I just want to have a good time. I don't think about the future. I don't think about putting money away for the future. I don't think about putting zechusim away for the future. I just take care of myself. I just take care of me, maybe even my family. Pleasure. We're going to do only things that are good for us. I'm not interested in anybody else. That's the Rasha. The Ritva says he sees the table all set up. He sees that there's a lot of bottle of wine. He says this is going to be a great night for shikr. This is going to be a great night to drink. This is going to be a great night. I smell the delicious smells coming out of the kitchen. I smell the delicious food. I see the table set with all this finery. B'nai Brak. I see we're going to have a party tonight. And then he gets very upset because they take away the table. They used to sit on individual tables, and to spur the children to ask the Manish Tana, they put out the food on the table and then they took it away. And the kid says, hey, what's going on? How come you're taking the food away? Why are you pouring a second cup? We didn't even have the first, we didn't have the meal yet. So why are we drinking a second cup? And what's with all the strange, unusual things that you're doing? So the Rasha gets really, really upset. And he says, I want to eat. Why are you not letting me eat? And again, I know people that's their attitude. But that's the Rasha talking. And he says, further, he says, why are you working so hard? You should have slaves doing all of this hard work. You should just hire people. Now, there's nothing wrong with hiring people to help you clean the house or pay something. There's nothing wrong with hiring people to do the cooking for you. Nobody should mistakenly think that I'm saying that. But everybody does something for Pesach as best as you can. Some people are physically capable of doing more. Some people are less. But everybody does something for Pesach. Even if it's just ordering and hiring all these things, that's working. You could have somebody else do it. Bill Gates doesn't lift a finger, I assume. He just tells somebody, do this, do this, do that, and they just do it. If Bill Gates does this all on his own, I apologize to him. There are people that can, Baruch Hashem, have somebody do all their work for them. The idea on Pesach, and that's what the Rasha said, why are you working? Let somebody else do all of this hard work. Why are you working? And therefore, we tell the Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uva'atzmo. Right? Hashem didn't send a malach tonight to save us on Pesach. Hashem didn't send somebody else to go and save us. B'chvodo uva'atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's what we respond to the Rasha. And that's why we say, Hakei es shinov. Break his teeth so he can't eat. All he wants to do is eat. What are you going to do if you can't eat? What are you going to do, Nebuch, when a person gets old and he can't enjoy the food? When a person doesn't have the money? So if your whole life is just gashmis, if your whole life is just these physical pleasures, at some point in your life, you're not going to enjoy them anymore. You outgrow. You never outgrow Torah. You never outgrow mitzvahs. I never heard a person say, I did enough mitzvahs. I gave enough tzedakah. People love those things. A person who learns Torah, you look at the great Gedolim, they never say, I don't want to hear another nice pshat and tosus. I don't want to hear another din. They always want to hear more. They get the biggest geschmack out of learning Torah. And that's why we break the Rosh's teeth, Hakeya Shinov, so he can't enjoy the food and say, your whole life is about food. That's a waste of time. The food in the grave is not going to help you at all. And therefore, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu came b'chvodo v'atzmo, so too, we have to do things ourselves for Pesach. And the Ritva says over here, that's why the punishment, the quid pro quo for the Rasha is that you don't let him eat. And that's why the halacha is that if there's a person who's a meshumid, a person who's nebuch, an apostate Jew, a person who's a heretic, a person who doesn't believe, it's also to invite him to your house. Now, there are people that may not be the best Jews, and the people that don't necessarily follow the religion, but they're usually not doing it tzilahachis. They're usually doing it because they don't know. They're what we would call a tinok shemishpa. So those people you can invite to the Seder. But if somebody is a tzilahachisnik, he says, I'm doing this to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't believe in this. He has a yeshiva background, and he knows all the dinim, and he says, I don't believe in this garbage. So Rahman al-Islan, something like that, you don't invite to the Seder. We always have a problem. We always want to be makarev, push away with the left hand, then be makarev with the right hand. We don't want to push away too strongly. But at the same time, the halacha is that all somebody's interested in is eating, and he knows better. Again, to invite people in that don't know, that's a wonderful mitzvah. To invite people that are unfortunately not knowledgeable, they're not religious, to invite them to the Seder, to teach them about the Seder, that's a tremendous mitzvah. Not only is that not a bad thing, that's a very good thing for a person to do. But therefore, we need to understand the message to the Russia. Most people aren't a Russia. But the message to the Russia is all you want to do is eat at the Seder. So then, Hakei Yeshinov, you go and smash his teeth. Okay, so that's the message that we give to the Russia. What's the message that we give to the Tam? So the message that we give to the Tam, the Chidah says is as follows. The Chidah says, Madua anu osim yontov ayitzias mitzrayim velo alanisim she'osu imanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chnisosu l'aretz. He's, in essence, his saying, the Tam's question is, what's so special about yitzias mitzrayim? There were many, many other nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Why don't we have a holiday commemorating the splitting of the Yardane? That's an unbelievable huge mitzvah, the splitting of the Yardane. In some ways, it was greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. So why don't we go and have a special commemoration for the splitting of the Yardane? When we went into into Eretz Yisrael, and all of the kings, they fell before us, and all the miracle at Yericho, how come we don't celebrate those Nisim? What was special about Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Tam's a good person, but he just doesn't know a lot of things. So therefore, he asks, what was so special about this night? So the Mikroi Kodesh says, Madua Onu Women's Hallel. He says, why do we say this Hallel specifically on this night and not on any other nights? So they bring down an answer. That this night is the start of all of those future Nisim. We tell the Tam, don't look at each event in history as being, okay, unrelated. This was a miracle, happened wonderful. This was a miracle, happened wonderful. No, it's a domino effect. When we left Mitzrayim, we became a nation. I said today that the bringing of the Korban Pesach was L'Havdil Elf Tavdolos, that was the Boston Tea Party for Klal Yisrael. That established us as a nation. That made us into a people. Now we're Klal Yisrael, leaving Mitzrayim, on the way to get the Torah. And now every single miracle, every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, every single wonderful thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, it's all related back to that first night. And that's what we have to tell the Tam. We have to tell him, it's not separate events that happened in history. Coincidences, oh, the Jewish people happen to get a lot of miracles to them. No, the Iker is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if we hadn't left Mitzrayim, nothing would have happened to the Jewish people. We would have been lost. We would have been gone, just like all the other civilizations at that time. There are no Phoenicians left. You don't have the Amori. They're not around anymore. The Kazdim, they're not around. The Chaborim, they're all gone. Only the Jewish people. Mark Twain recognized this. He said, the Jewish people are an anomaly. But we know that we're not an anomaly. It was all because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the message that we have to give to the Tam. Finally, you have the Sheino de Elishol. Now, the Sheino de Elishol, so he is somebody that we don't know really where he stands. So Relazer Chadida, he says as follows. He's chote because he doesn't try to learn. You have people that sometimes are ignoramuses. They're boor. They're a boor in English and Hebrew are the same. So they're not knowledgeable people. So if it's their own fault, so then they're held accountable. That's why the She'enu Yodea Lishol is held in the grouping with the Rasha. If somebody truly, Nebuch, he was raised in an area that with no Torah whatsoever, what's the poor kid supposed to do? His parents were off the Derech, Nebuch. He was raised in a totally secular world. So that person is a Tinok Shenishba. He's not held accountable for anything. That's not the She'enu Yodea Lishol that we're referring to over here. Here, the She'enu Yodea Lishol was a kid that could have learned something, but he didn't. There were opportunities for him to learn, right? The Rav gives a shir on Shabbos afternoon, and you're always sleeping for that. That's a She'enu Yodea Lishol, the person that doesn't try to improve himself. He's not a bad person. He's not doing anything wrong. He's sleeping. He doesn't go to the shir, not because he's out partying, because he's going to the movies and Machal Shabbos. He's sleeping. He doesn't get up in the morning to go to Davin. He's sleeping. He's not doing something that's even wrong. He's not the Rasha. But the She'enu Yodea Lishol, he's shovel a Rasha because ein bor yorei chet. If a person doesn't try to improve himself, so then he will be deemed to failure. Chafetz Chaim writes, if you don't know Hilchos Shabbos, there's no way you can be a Shomer Shabbos. You have to spend time learning. It's not always so easy to do so. And therefore, the answer that's given to the She'enu Yodea Lishol parallels the answer that we give to the Rasha. So we also hold them accountable to a certain extent. Okay. Now we go to the next paragraph. Yochamei Rosh Chodesh. So we say over here, why today's Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So it's very appropriate for us to discuss this paragraph. So you might have thought you should start saying over the Haggadah. We are doing that. We're not doing a sin by learning now. But you might have thought there should be a formal requirement that you have to go and say the Seder over Yochamei Rosh Chodesh. So he tells us over here that that's not true. He brings down first Rashi. He says, so there is a halacha, a machlokes. Some people, they follow the opinion, shloshim yom lefnei achag. Some people follow the opinion of Rishim Gamaliel that you do it 2 weeks before the chag. 2 weeks before the chag is now. So therefore, you might have thought that we take the opinion, many people have the custom, they don't eat matzah anymore until the Seder. My father's opinion, his minhag was that we don't eat it from Pesach, from Purim till Pesach, because that goes according to the opinion, Shloshim Yom Lefnei Chag, you have to start thinking of the Chag. So you're preparing for the Chag, you want to eat the matzah b'teyovon. So therefore, our minhag, which I still hold as well, should be Leila Nishmas, my father. Anything that I do should be in Aliyah Fiz Neshama. So in our family, we finished off all the matzah on Purim or before Purim, and we don't have matzah of any sort until Pesach time. There is an opinion I saw from Rav Ozzi Zatzal who says that it's only matzah that could be used, the Seder, that you don't have from Purim until Pesach according to that minhag. But there is another opinion that says, no, you want to make the excitement of eating the matzah on Pesach special if you have matzah every single day before Pesach. So on Pesach night, it's not so exciting to have matzah. So therefore, some have the custom ready from Purim not to eat matzah. But Yochamei Rosh Chodesh, that goes like the opinion that says 2 weeks beforehand, you're supposed to already start thinking of Pesach. So therefore, you might have thought that you should have to start saying over all these things from Rosh Chodesh. That's the simple pshat. Other pshatim from the Rashbam and the Rashbates. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hischila HaGeula. At Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe Rabbeinu got up, already started darshening to the people. That's one of the reasons why we start darshening. So therefore, this is a special time. So you might have thought, Yochamei Rosh Chodesh, you should have to start doing all of this from Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, it tells us, no, we don't do this. We do this on the night of the Seder itself. The Ritva adds over here. It says, V'avadet tu ashavot azos b'chodesh hazeh. You might have thought, again, to explain, what does it mean, Yochamei Rosh Chodesh? Why should we think from Rosh Chodesh? Because it says, V'avadet tu ashavot azos b'chodesh hazeh. Just like it says, Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Besimcha, Mishenichnas Ab Mimatim Besimcha. So there's something special about the month of Ador. There's something Nebuch unfortunate about the month of Ab. So you might have thought that the month of Nisan, which is true, that the month of Nisan is the month of Geula. So therefore, that's what we're saying over here. During the month of Nisan, there'll be a Geula, but don't start saying the Haggadah until Pesach. And finally, the Nes of Mitzias Yitzrayim, begins when we took the Tleh on Shabbos HaGadol, which was Yud Nisan, which was my father's yard site. That's the real date of the Shabbos HaGadol in Mitzrayim. And therefore, you might have thought that that's the mazel of the Tleh. That's the sheep, that we took the sheep, was that was Kineged, the Mitzrayim. That was their God. So therefore, you might have thought that it's not only Pesach night, it's the whole month. Therefore, we bedavka say, it's only Pesach night. You might have thought, Yochem Rosh Chodesh, but therefore, we say Bayom Ahu to teach us that it should be this day, and specifically this night of Pesach. So that's Yochem Rosh Chodesh. Okay. The next paragraph, we talk about Mitchila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We start off with the Genus, with the Genai, with the terrible disparagement of Chai Yisrael, that we started off being Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and now V'achshav Kerovnu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now brings us close to him. So what is this Achshav? At what point is Achshav? So there are many interesting ideas. Again, I don't know how many times I haven't thought about, what does it mean, Me'achshav Kervonu Lamakom, that now we got close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So many of the Rishonim have different ideas what this means. Al Eze Zman Nemar Achshav Kervonu. Now we got close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Sefer, Shnayim Yodeya, it's a very interesting parish, so he brings down, this is talking about Achshav at Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was a very special time for Klal Yisrael, and therefore, this is the time that we got close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mala Gedola, that we became the Avodim of Hashem. That is bringing us closer. Right? When people are close to somebody, they're an ebet to that person, so to say. A husband is meshubet to take care of his wife's needs. The wife is meshubedes to the husband to take care of his needs. That's the greatest love. That's the greatest thing, to be in that type of a relationship. That became our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he adds as well, that's the bracha, shlo asani goy. We now can say, from the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're a different nation. We're the Am HaNivchar, shlo asani goy. That's what Achshav Kerovnu. The Abarbanel says, no, it goes much earlier than that. This is when Avram Avinu recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Avram Avinu, the greatness of Avram Avinu was he gave over the Mesorah to Yitzchak. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I love you, Avram, because you're passing on the transmission that I'm the one God to your son Yitzchak. And that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a father passes over to his son, when a parent passes over to their children, not only a father to a son, father to a daughter, a mother to a son, mother to a daughter, the transmission of our Mesorah, which is the Iker, that's what the whole night of the Seder is all about. So that's what makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. And that's when we get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chidah, the great Sfaradi God of the Chidah. So he says, Nesina Satorah and Har Sinai, that we weren't close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because he took us out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved many people over the years from many different tragedies and suffering. When he gave us the Torah, that's the moment that we became close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, I want to say that from the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Zatzal. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, beautiful, and he said, the purpose over here is that we should realize that we're always close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Akshav, whoever's reading this, whoever's saying the Seder, whether you said it in the year 1123, or whether you're saying it in 2021, or whatever year you're saying in it, Achshav Kervonu Lamoko. No matter who you are, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, so appropriate. This is the whole mahus of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is everything he stood for, that you can put tefillin on anybody. You'll find a Jew that has a tattoo on his arm, but you can get him to put on tefillin. You can get him to come into a shul and make a lechayim. You bring everybody close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody should realize that they too can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achshav, wherever you are in life, whatever your position in life, no matter how religious or nebuch irreligious you are, no matter how observant you are or how lack of observance you are, unknowledgeable you are, you could be a person that's walking around, you barely know that you're Jewish. You're pro-Israel. That's it. That's your Judaism. You know, you're a Jew at heart, but you don't know anything. You too, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, Achshav, where you are right now, wherever you are in the world, you can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What an unbelievable pshat, and it's not surprising at all that that's the pshat of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Finally, we'll end off on this note. This will be, I think, the last paragraph that we'll do. So he says, in the Baruch Shomer Haftachoso, the paragraph that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us that he would fulfill what he told us, that he would take us out. Yodoh Teda Kigir Yezaracha. Yeah, I'm going to put you in Mitzrayim, but I swear that I'm going to take you out. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara Nedarim tells us that this is all Nebuch because Avram Avinu, when he went to go fight the battle against the kings, the four kings against the five kings, and Avram Avinu went to go and fight them to save Lot. So it says that he took the 318 people. Some say it was just Eliezer, but others say that these were people that were learning. And he took people away from learning. And as important as it was to do what he had to do, and Avram Avinu felt he had no choice. But since the Gemara there says, also angaria betamidei chachamim, he took away these people from learning. So therefore, Avram Avinu had to be punished. Again, Avram Avinu, you're on a different madrega. But this teaches us the importance of learning. This idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us into galus was because we didn't learn enough. And that means that every day that we're still in galus, it means because each of us could learn more. Having a shiur like this, and then telling this shiur over, and learning more on your own. There's so much to be learned in the Haggadah. So that's the purpose of the Haggadah, to teach us how important is learning. Rav Yochanan says a different teretz. He says that, Ten li ha-nefesh ruchush kach loch. When Melech Sedom said to Avram Avinu, you could take these people, Avram said, no, you keep them. So therefore, Avram Avinu had a chance to be makar of other people. And therefore, he's held accountable. We also have that accountability. How many people could we be makar, bring them somehow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But it's difficult. It would interfere with our lives. So he's telling us over here, that's something that should be important to all of us. The Ran, finally, he brings down. Shelo haya hagolus achid klal. He disagrees with everything. He says, there is no reason sometimes that we can understand. It's not that we did something wrong. And it's a wonderful way to end the shiur tonight. The Ran says, sometimes there is no reason to explain why things happen. And he says, when bad things happen to us, we have to understand that this is the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who would have ever thought there could be a COVID? Who would have ever thought that our lives could be turned upside down? And that people can go from unbelievable happiness, Purim a year ago, to unbelievable sadness right around that time, and that's lasting still for this entire year. And the Ran says, "Kidei lachnia liboseim shel Yisrael," that this should break our hearts and subjugate us to understand that God runs the world. Things don't always make sense to us. We don't understand why there's a COVID. We don't understand why people have suffered this year. But the knowledge that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the knowledge that the Yeshua, that's what the night of the Seder is about, the Geula. B'nisan nigalu u'b'nisan asidin lihigoyal. And that's the message of the Seder. That Be'ezras Hashem, as difficult as things have been for us this year, for our parents, my parents who suffered through the Holocaust and lost so much of their family, all the other people that have suffered different things in their lives, for the collective suffering of Klal Yisrael, we have to understand that there will be, Be'ezras Hashem b'mehera b'yameinu, a geula shlema. I've used up my hour. I hope people have enjoyed some of the things that I've said, but more importantly, I hope it spurred you to even go and learn more about the Seder. There's so many Haggadahs. It's funny. You don't have so many books on other things. There are just so many Haggadahs that people put out, constantly bringing in modern ideas and things that are applicable to modern life. But you have the great Gedolim of Klal Yisrael that write Haggadahs still and add on their interpretations, and you couple them with all the great Haggadahs from the Rishonim and the Achronim. And there's so much to learn and so much to enjoy with Pesach. I wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. I wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful, good, gesund, healthy Pesach. Be'ezus Hashem, this year we still should daven and pray that we will eat the Korban Pesach together, b'nechsas nefashos, in great fanfare, in great crowds, in the rebuilt Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash HaBenuya. Amen. Selah. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Gutvach, a wonderful Chodesh Nisan, and Yitz Hashem, all of our wishes should come true. Be'ezras Hashem. Thank you very much.